The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. Please turn to page 220 of the New Testament. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Allow me to read the words of God. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Then there were about 12 men in all. Amen. As we have studied for the past two sermons in which I gave, Paul, who just started his third evangelical trip, met some disciples when he arrived to Ephesus, as he had promised. Paul baptized and taught them about Jesus Christ, who never even heard of the presence of the Holy Spirit and only knew of John's baptism. And when he placed his hands on their heads to baptize them, the Holy Spirit, which none of them had ever known until that moment, came upon them. It was not like they made any efforts to earn the Lord's salvation. The grace of receiving salvation through believing in the Christ Jesus on the cross was granted to them through the Spirit of the Lord. Let us look into the verse 6 of today's passage. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. At the same time the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they all spoke in tongues and prophesied, as if they all promised to do so. That was the proof that the Holy Spirit came to them. As we have already studied carefully over it, the nature of speaking in tongues that was given to the disciples for the first time on the Pentecost was not the mysterious words of heaven which humans weren't able to understand, but it was the communication between the people who could not communicate in the same language. Of course, in terms of delivering the mysterious words of the heaven, speaking in tongues is also mentioned in the Bible as well, but this type of speaking in tongue has the same kind of nature in the way that it refers to communication, more precisely the spiritual communication between a person and Jesus Christ. Also, the prophecy in the Bible does not mean foreseeing the future like the fortune tellers do, but it means to translate the past, distinguish the present, and predict the future through God's words, and setting one's own and other people's life straight upon God's words. According to today's passage, there were about 12 men in all when the Holy Spirit came upon to the disciples at the same time when Paul imposed his hand. There's something we should pay attention to here. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was not like some out of 12 disciples spoke in tongues and the rest prophesied. Without exception, all 12 of them spoke in tongues and all 12 of them prophesied. The proof that the Holy Spirit was with them was not just one between speaking in tongue or prophesying, but all two of them. Such fact teaches us an important message. The message tells us that speaking in tongues and prophesying aren't two separate things, but they always come together in the Holy Spirit. We have learned that speaking in tongue was communication between people who weren't able to communicate with each other. The prerequisite of communication is sympathy. Without sympathy, communication is impossible. If communication between certain people is delivered smoothly, it means they are sympathizing on a certain issue or a subject. So, the ability to communicate is the ability to sympathize. The ability to sympathize and the scope of communication are directly proportional. The greater the ability to sympathize, then the scope of communication also naturally expands. However, what would happen if there's only the ability to sympathize without prophecy, which interprets the world and time through gospel? That kind of ability to communicate and sympathize will be nothing different from a conspiracy. Christians are supposed to sympathize with the circumstances of those who commit injustice and evil and communicate with them. But they should not collude with the evil and injustice themselves. If prophecy is not required in our speaking of tongues, our abilities of communicating and sympathizing will lose its principle and standards and only become a mere self-vindication or self-indulgence. The prophecy in the biblical sense means to interpret the past, distinguish the present, and predict the future through God's words, and set ours and others' lives straight upon the gospel. In other words, the significance of prophecy does not lie in the proclamation itself, but in setting straight the era and the world with God's words. When God entrusted his words to prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, he said as follows. Let us read Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? God is a being who wishes wicked persons to change their path of lives rather than to drown in their own sins. That is why he continuously sent prophets whom he has entrusted his words to on this earth. God continued to tell Ezekiel as follows. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 14. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die. Aren't God's words the absolute words that are different from those of ordinary humans? If God had prophesied to the wicked that you will surely die, the wicked would have had no way to live at all. However desperate the wicked becomes, he or she will have to die since God had said so. But God's words continues as follows. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 14 to 16. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right. If they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life, and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the sins that person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live. If God had prophesied to the wicked that you will surely die, it is not to kill the wicked, but to change him or her to stand straight upon justice and righteousness. A revelation by God Himself to save the wicked with His words. Those who have been entrusted such role from God were those in the Bible. In other words, the prophets. The prophets fulfilled their duties in the midst of severe persecution and ordeals to save the era and the world, not to show off their supernatural power or to kill people. Those who try to kill or save others with words have different tones of voice, intonation, facial expressions, and looks in the eyes. That is why prophecy is about the power of influence. But what would happen when there's only prophecies that are without the ability to empathize with the people? That prophecy would only be words of self-righteousness confined in its own words, far from being words of influence, how much right it may be. Pharisees insisted on the Jewish commandments more than anyone, but have only turned out to be self-righteous people without the power to influence others, because they lacked the ability to empathize with other people. Without the ability to influence or sympathize, they have incurred a foolish result of manipulating the commandments to kill people rather than saving. That is why the ability of sympathizing, of speaking in tongues, and the power of influence of prophesying do not come separately but always together in the Holy Spirit. It is because the Spirit of the Trinity God, or the Holy Spirit, is a Spirit which saves people. The ability to sympathize of speaking in tongues that is not accompanied with the power to influence of prophesying is nothing different from collusion. And the power to influence of prophesying, which lacks the ability to empathize of speaking in tongues, will fall to become the words of self-righteousness. When leaned only on either one of the side, it will eventually kill people. That is why when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in today's passage, all 12 of them, without exception, spoke in tongues and prophesied, all at the same time. This is because the ability to sympathize of speaking in tongue and the power to influence of prophesying need to come together in the Holy Spirit in order to become the Lord's path to save people. The book of Acts differentiates the Jews into Grecian Jews and Hebraic Jews. The Israel kingdom was divided into north and south after the death of King Solomon. And the northern part of the kingdom first fell due to the invasion by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. And the southern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Babylonian Empire in 586 BC. Many Jewish people have left the land of Israel and scattered about to various countries in the Mediterranean world at the time. For several centuries, they have set their roots in various regions and used the local languages as their mother tongues. They were called the Grecian Jews. In other words, migrants. On the other hand, the Hebraic Jews lived in and protected the land of Israel that was passed down by the ancestors in the midst of all troubles and used Hebrews as their mother language. They were the so-called keepers of home. There was an insurmountable barrier between the Hebraic Jews, the keepers of home, and the Grecian Jews, the migrants. The Hebraic Jews had the pride that they protected the land of Israel in the midst of all kinds of hardships, and at the same time had the resentment towards the Grecian Jews that they have fled from Israel when the land was in trouble. On the other hand, the Grecian Jews who lived scattered about within the Roman Empire, which conquered the ever-large Mediterranean world, considered the Hebraic Jews as people with narrow views that lack globalism, with absurdly arrogant attitude, even though they are stuck in the small land of Israel. Even though they were same Jews, Grecian Jews and the Hebraic Jews were as different as night and day. As we have learned in the first session of these series, on the site 2,000 years ago, when the Holy Spirit descended and the Lord's disciples spoke in tongues for the first time, there were not only the Hebraic Jews, but also the Grecian Jews that visited Jerusalem from the Mediterranean world upon celebrating the Pentecost. These Grecian Jews from at least 16 different parts of the Roman Empire all used different languages as their mother tongues. But when the apostles spoke in tongues, strangely enough, they all understood what the apostles were saying in their respective language. The apostles were uneducated Galileans who have never set their foot in any schools. The apostles knew no other language since they have never received any formal education. And still, these Grecian Jews all heard the apostles speak in their mother tongues. At the same time the Holy Spirit descended, the communication between the apostles, who were Hebraic Jews, and the Grecian Jews began. This means that the apostles, who were the keepers of home, and Hebraic Jews, have built the ability to sympathize with the Grecian Jews, or the migrants, whom they used to keep distance with. But the ability to sympathize was not the only thing the Lord's disciples earned during the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when the disciples first spoke in tongues on the Pentecost. Some people made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. In order to prove that they weren't drunk at all, and that their speaking in tongues was the result of the event of the Holy Spirit, Peter referred to Prophet Joel's prophecy, who foretold of the event of the Holy Spirit. Peter did not stop here and urged those that were gathered there to repent in the name of Jesus Christ, elucidating that the Jews have nailed Jesus onto the cross and killed him. But Jesus, whom God has saved from death, is now the Christ Lord, and will be sitting on the right hand of God forevermore in the future. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there were as many as 3,000 people who received the Lord and were baptized on the spot. Regardless of being a Hebraic Jews or Grecian Jews, upon listening to Peter's preaching, all those people were influenced by Peter's words. This is truly amazing power of influence. As such, Peter possessed both the ability to sympathize of speaking in tongues and the power to influence of prophesying in the Holy Spirit. That is why his ability to empathize did not fall to become a collusion with the world, nor did his power to influence become stuck in the pit of self-righteousness. And Peter was able to consistently live his life as a disciple who saved people until the day the Lord called for him. This was possible because the Holy Spirit that came upon him was the Spirit of the Trinity God who saves people. Today is the 96th year since the March 1st Independence Movement took place. The March 1st Independence Movement is a peaceful, non-violent independence movement against the Japanese colonization, which started all over the country on March 1st, 1919, on the ninth year since Japan forcefully merged Korea to Japan. This was the biggest national movement during the Japanese colonial era, and the first big independence movement from a colony of a conquering nation after the First World War. Let me read you an excerpt from the translated version of the Declaration of Independence at the time. We do not intend to accuse Japan of infidelity for its violation of various solemn treaty obligations since the Treaty of Amity of 1876. Japan's scholars and officials, indulging in a conqueror's exuberance, have denigrated the accomplishments of our ancestors and treated our civilized people like barbarians. Despite their disregard for the ancient origins of our society and the brilliant spirit of our people, we shall not blame Japan. We must first blame ourselves before finding fault with others. Because of the urgent need for remedies for the problems of today, we cannot afford the time for recriminations over past wrongs. Our task today is to build up our own strength, not to destroy others. We must chart a new course for ourselves in accord with the solemn dictates of conscience, not malign and reject others for reasons of past enmity or momentary passions. In order to restore natural and just conditions, we must remedy the unnatural and unjust conditions brought about by the leaders of Japan, who are chained to old ideas and old forces and victimized by their obsession with glory. Independence for Korea today shall not only enable Koreans to lead a normal, prosperous life as is their due, it will also guide Japan to to leave its evil path and perform its great task of supporting the cause of the East, liberating China from a gnawing uneasiness and fear, and helping the cause of world peace and happiness for mankind, which depends greatly on peace in the East. How can this be considered a trivial issue of mere sentiment? Nowhere in the Declaration of Independence shows any part that provokes hostility against Japan, which stole the country. Rather, it urges Japan to turn away from the evil ways and proclaims independence for the sake of world peace and happiness for mankind. However, Japan conducted an armed crackdown on the March 1st independence movement. They carried out a massacre of firing arms against the unarmed peace demonstrators who were marching from all over the country, and did not hesitate in arresting them and harshly torturing them. According to statistics by the Japanese at the time, during the mere three-month movement, 7,509 people were killed, 15,961 badly injured, and 46,948 were imprisoned during the crackdown process since the start of the movement on March 1st. Moreover, 47 churches, 2 schools, and 715 civilian homes were incinerated. That was the official record announced by the Japanese at the time. So the actual damage should have been much more than that. Then, did the March 1st movement end up as a miserable failure? Not at all. As an extension of the March 1st movement, the Provisional Government of the Republic of Korea was established in Shanghai, China, providing an opportunity for the independence movement to become more systemized, organized, and vitalized. Also, through the March 1st movement, the people's national consciousness and political awareness were raised. Thus, their goal of an independent nation has changed from the restoration of the dynasty to the development of a democratic republic. Moreover, the March 1st movement, which insisted nonviolence, influenced national movements in the Asian and Middle East regions that occurred the same year, such as the May 4th anti-Japan patriotic movement in China, Gandhi's nonviolent insubordination movement in India, Egypt's independence movement against the Britain, and the Turkish national movement. The March 1st independence movement was like the first Korean wave that had an impact overseas, which occurred almost a century before our Korean soap operas and music started getting popular, so to speak. And the March 1st movement eventually led to the August 15 Independence Day in 1945, as the world situations have changed. How could have the March 1st independence movement that seemed to have ended a failure due to the Japanese armed crackdown have such huge influence inside and outside of the country? It was because the March 1st movement, which many Christian leaders and churches have participated in at the time, possessed the ability to sympathize and the power to influence, to save the people. Today is also the second Sunday of Lent, a season of repentance of which we praise the Lord's suffering on the cross and his resurrection, and of which we pull our twisted lives together straight before the Lord. If our ability to sympathize cannot be differentiated from the worldly collusion, and if our power to influence is only words of self-righteousness, and thus we cannot save the era and the world, even if we do say everything righteous, then that is because we are seeking after what is good for ourselves, not after the Holy Spirit. The ability to sympathize and influence operate the moment we transgress our personal interests. If Peter and other disciples sought after their personal interests, then the ability of empathizing and influencing to save the world mentioned in the book of Acts would have been impossible. If the leaders and the intellectuals that led the March 1st movement sought after their personal interests, then the movement would have ended up in vain. That recklessly sacrificed the lives of the people before the guns and swords of the Japanese. Let us all repent our foolishness of seeking after our own personal interests that cannot protect us forever upon celebrating the second Sunday of Lent. Just like the Lord's promise in John chapter 14, verse 20, "You are in me and I am in you," let us follow the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Lord, who is inside us right now, who broke from the death and resurrected after dying on the cross to save us. Let us build up the public righteousness and justice of our society with the ability to empathize of speaking in tongues and the power of influence of prophesying in the Holy Spirit. The ability to empathize of speaking in tongues and the power to influence of prophesying will save me, save you, save us, this era, and the future to come. When we possess the ability to empathize of speaking in tongues and the power to influence of prophesying in the Holy Spirit, we can become the apostles of peace that can bind our neighbors, China and Japan, with the chain of peace. Let us pray. Father God, who wishes the wicked to surely change and live rather than drown and die in their own sins, Jesus has come down to this earth in the form of human being in order to communicate with the sinners in order to follow your will. Jesus has never once colluded with an unjust person, even though he empathized with the feeble lives of the humans. Instead, he has died on the cross to pay for the sins of the humans and influenced us with his eternal life. Moreover, he stays in us in the form of spirit and allowed us to reside in his words that are himself. So we thank you for that. Let us realize the righteousness and justice in our society with the ability to empathize of speaking in tongues and the power of influence of prophesying in the Holy Spirit. Help us not to make foolish mistakes of turning our backs against the Holy Spirit and seeking after personal interests and disguised collusion as the ability to sympathize or misinterpret the words of self-righteousness as the power to influence. Let us become the path of life that saves the era and the upcoming future through the ability to empathize of speaking in tongues and the power to influence of prophesying in the Holy Spirit, and become the apostles of peace to who cultivate the peace in the Northeast Asia and the world. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.